Okay, so if you have a sheet, you'll see that I want us to look this evening at Paul's letter to the Galatians and verses 6 to 10. So if you have a Bible, give them one on the way in. That's page 1341. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. Let me read it in your hearing. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let's not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So here we are, harvest, Thanksgiving. And the Bible is full of pictures of sowing and reaping and harvest and fruit and so on. And it's used in many different ways to teach many different truths. So we haven't done it today, but the parable of the sower that Jesus taught, or the parable of the soils, that challenges us about how we listen to God's word. What sort of reception are we giving it? What sort of hearts do we have? Have we got hearts that are ready to hear it, or hard, or shallow, or cluttered? And so the Bible's full of pictures like that, and using reaping and sowing and reaping. And we've got one here before us this evening. Absolutely vital truths in these verses. I mean, and we can say that, of course, of everywhere in the Bible, but I'm particularly struck tonight how vital the lessons of these few verses are. We could say it's the difference between a sort of a barren, fruitless Christian life and a fruitful, godly Christian life is bound up in these words. So it matters for us this evening. Paul is using then this picture. He's sort of already used sort of garden language, hasn't he? Or farming language in the previous chapter, where he's spoken about what? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that comes from the Spirit's work in our lives. And now Paul speaks about sowing and reaping in our lives. And it's a really vital truth for us tonight. First thing we need to grasp is a foundational truth. You see it on the sheet there, a foundational truth. It's in verse 7. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. We need to get that in our heads and hearts tonight. Now, that is sort of, it's funny, isn't it? Because when it comes to farming or gardening, to literal sowing and reaping, that truth doesn't really need to be stated, does it? It's great, actually, to have a farmer in our midst. We're very excited this year. For the first time in a while, we've got a farmer in the church. So it's, but I don't imagine Tim has ever come home. Sorry, you might have been used a couple of times tonight, Tim, so be ready. But you don't imagine that Tim's ever sort of come home, has he, and said to Heather, you never guess what? Something amazing's happened. I sowed some sugar beets in my field, and guess what? Sugar beets come up. I don't think he's ever said that, has he? Because you don't need to say it. What you sow, it's what you reap. I mean, if he sowed sugar beet and wheat came up, well, then there'd be something to talk about, wouldn't there? Probably about whether he picked the right seed or not. But that, because that's what happens. We understand that. What a man sows, that you will also reap. And Paul is making clear to us here in these verses then that that doesn't just apply to the vegetable garden and to the farmer's fields. It applies to the whole of life. And it most certainly applies in our spiritual lives and in our moral lives. So I've given you three verses there. Let me just read them, and you can look them up later as well. Job chapter 4, verse 8. Those who plough iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Okay, you sow sin, you plough sin, you sow trouble, that's what you're going to reap. There's going to be a reaping from that. Proverbs 22, verse 8. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow. What you sow is what you reap. Hosea 8, verse 4. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Hosea there is speaking about the sin of Israel and its consequences. So sin always has consequences, doesn't it? It's like sowing something and it always brings a harvest. Now, and often that's seen, isn't it? That somebody heads down a pathway. A sinful pathway. And it seems, you know, it seems fun. It seems free, you know. Nothing's going to come of it. It's going to be all right. It doesn't really matter. And then you see the consequences that come from it. A sin does that, doesn't it? What you sow is what you... Now, look at this with me, because this is key. Notice two telling comments that Paul makes about that statement. Look at verse 7. How does verse 7 begin? It begins like this, doesn't it? Do not be deceived. Do you see that? Do not be deceived. That is a very telling comment about us, isn't it? Because no one would ever be, well, I don't think so anyway, unless they were a bit mad, but no one would ever be deceived in terms of literal sowing and reaping. Imagine Tim's reaction if I went up to him as he was sat there in his air-conditioned tractor, as he was about to sow, one of his fields, and I said to him, "Now, Tim, I see that you're sowing winter barley there. Now, I just want you to be clear. You do know, don't you, that if you sow winter barley, you're going to get some winter barley. I don't want you to be deceived into thinking you're going to get potatoes or wheat at the end of it." Well, he'd be insulted, wouldn't he, I imagine? You go, what does Hugh take me for? Does he think I'm an idiot? Because you wouldn't be deceived, would you? You know, what you sow is what you reap. Now, we might laugh at that, but that's exactly what we do in our lives. We deceive ourselves, or we allow the evil one to deceive us into thinking that we can, that somehow we can do one thing and reap something else. That we can act in one way and the consequences will be somehow different. That was a deception at the very beginning, wasn't it? So you are younger ones here tonight. God told Adam and Eve, didn't he, if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what would happen? They would surely die. If you sow that, this is what you'll reap. And what did Satan do? He deceived them, didn't he? You won't surely die. It will be all right. You can sow one thing and you can reap something else. And you know, we do the same. We convince ourselves, don't we, that we can do a certain thing or allow a certain thing in our lives and take up a certain habit and it will be okay. It won't affect us. It won't change us. It won't have any consequences. So we can deceive ourselves, can't we, into thinking that I I don't have to read the Bible and pray and have my quiet time. I can give that up and it won't have any impact. Don't be deceived. Or, you know, I can watch this television program. Oh, I can just fill my mind with this junk. I can go on this internet site and, it won't really have any impact. Or I can harbour a grudging, unforgiving spirit, and it won't have an impact on me. I'll be all right. We can be deceived. We can deceive ourselves, can't we? Because what a man sows, that he will also reap. So there's a question for you tonight. Let me be, and I'm challenging myself as well. Are you trying to deceive yourself? Is there something in your life that you're trying to deceive yourself? You're saying, I'm doing this, but it won't matter. It won't have any impact. I can sow this and I can reap something else. Because we're easily deceived. We deceive ourselves. Satan deceives us. Then look at the second thing. What does Paul say after that? God is not mocked. Now, that's I think that's sobering, isn't it? Because what's that telling us? Well, one thing it's telling us is this, surely, isn't it? That when we act in one way and expect a different outcome, there's a sense in which we are mocking God. We're mocking his words. We're treating it lightly. We're saying, well, God, you say this, and if I do this, this will happen, and I don't believe you. And there's a sense in which we're mocking God and mocking his words. But God isn't mocked. That's what we're told here. We mustn't pretend, must we, with sin? We mustn't, with the joy of grace and the joy of forgiveness and the joy of the fact that we're in Christ is wonderful, glorious truths, but we must never use those to make us treat sin lightly or think sin doesn't matter so much now in my life or somehow its consequences won't really be that bad because now I'm a Christian and I'm forgiven. We must never think like that. The Bible never allows us to think like that. God is not mocked. Sin always has consequences. It always brings trouble, as we'll see in a little while. So there's a fundamental, unchanging, foundational truth that we all need to keep in mind. Whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. And then in these verses, Paul applies that in three areas. He applies it to giving and to holiness and to doing good. So let's just note those things and see how Paul looks at those. So first of all, giving. Now look at, it's there in verse 6, just before verse 7. It's generally agreed that verse 6 is linked with what follows. So let him who is taught the word share. Share in, or probably in isn't very helpful. Share all good things with him who teaches. So, and then he goes on, doesn't he? Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he also reaps. So there's the teaching that people who are taught should look after those who are teaching. But that's not just here, is it? We find that somewhere like 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially those who labour in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the labourer is worthy of his wages. So there I'm being likened to an ox in those words. But there's the thing, isn't there? Paul is telling Timothy to encourage, to teach the church, to support those who labour in words, preach the word to them so they can give themselves to that great vital task. And in our passage then, Paul links that with sowing and reaping. And then Paul does that elsewhere, doesn't he? So just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 if you're still awake. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. So Paul is speaking in chapters 8 and 9 about giving and preparing a gift for the church in Jerusalem. And he says this, doesn't he? In chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So that each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So Paul makes clear that this principle of sowing and reaping applies to our giving to the Lord. If you hold on to your money and give in a miserly way and hold it back for yourself, then you shouldn't be surprised if you're treated in like manner. But if you give generously with a cheerful heart, as you're able and as you purpose in your heart to do, then you'll discover that you'll receive from God in like manner. God's no man's debtor. Now, of course, this teaching has been abused, hasn't it? So we have to be careful. We're not saying that you sort of, in some calculating way, you can work out, well, what do we need? Well, we better give this much to the Lord, and then we're going to get that much back. You know, we can't bribe God. It's not about ourselves. But this principle of sowing and reaping applies to our giving and our generosity. The glad and generous giver is, you know, is God will bless and his smile will be upon them and he'll look after them. You don't have to worry. You see, sow sparingly, and you'll reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. So he applies it to giving. He applies it to giving. Now, I don't know how what anybody in this church gives. I heard the other day, there's a rumour in our village that everybody who comes here is ordered to give a tenth of their money. They can't quite work out how we can do things for free in this church and how we don't charge and have, you know, garage sales and whatever it is to get our money in. You all know that I don't think I've ever talked to anyone personally about money, I don't know. But that's not the case, is it? But here's this principle that we should all take on board. That this sowing and reaping applies to our giving to the Lord and his work and his kingdom. And nobody has ever given generously to the Lord and not received from the Lord and lost out by doing so. So there's the first thing Paul applies it to. Second thing is he applies it to holiness. Now, this is such important teaching for us this evening. What a difference taking this teaching on board and living it out can make to our Christian life. So, look at verse 8. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, what's all that about? Well, this isn't the first time that Paul has spoken about the flesh and the spirit in Galatians. He's spoken about it in the previous chapter, hasn't he? In chapter 5, verse 16. Let me read those verse 16. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So the flesh is speaking about our old sinful natures. Selfish, rebellious, sinful tendencies and desires are still lurking in our hearts, aren't they? They are, more than we would probably want other people to know. And they oppose all that we do, which is good and right. There's a battle going on. That's what Paul's saying here, isn't there? So when we become Christians, amazing things happen. We're born again. We're given, the Holy Spirit lives in us. We're new creations. We've got new desires. And yet, we know, don't we, that in the purposes of God, we've not done with sin completely. But there's a battle going on. There's the spirit and the flesh still. And there will be until glory. And the works of the flesh and the fruits of the flesh and what happens when you give way to the flesh is there, isn't it? In verse 19, look of chapter 5, the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Man, that's a list, isn't it? That's the flesh. All those things still lurk in our hearts. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit who now indwells us, and that spiritual life that comes as we trust in Christ and as God works in us. And the fruit of the Spirit are there in verse 22 and verse 23, aren't they? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So in chapter 5, it's as if these two are likened to sort of two fighters or two armies, and they're fighting against one another. And in chapter 6 then, they're likened to two fields, if you like, and the harvest that we reap as we sow in those fields. So, what does it mean to sow to the flesh? Well, surely it means this, doesn't it? It means to pander to the flesh, to feed the lust of the flesh, to encourage those things, to stimulate them. When we allow ourselves to feed our minds on sinful things, on impure things, we're sowing to the flesh. We're saying, well, this is know what this is going to produce. There's going to be fruit from this. So there are things that we do, don't we, that are sowing to the flesh. Things that we watch, that are sowing to the flesh. When we make ungodly unbelievers our best and closest friends, we are sowing to the flesh. When you flick through your phone and Facebook and YouTube and just watch and watch and watch, and yet don't read your Bible and pray, you're sowing to the flesh. When you absent yourself from church, when you, for no reason, you keep away from the people of God, you're sowing to the flesh. I mean, we could talk about all sorts of things, couldn't we? And you might disagree with some of the things that I mention, and you know, we could. Every one of us here tonight, if we're Christians, we need to examine our hearts. Are there ways in which you know that you're sowing to the flesh, that you're encouraging sin in your life, that you're stirring up that old self and those things within? And what does sowing to the flesh lead to? Well, what does it say? It leads to corruption. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. In other words, it leads to the word decay and away from God and away from what's it. It leads to ruin and despair and heartbreak and away from peace and joy and happiness and life. It leads to corruption. So don't underestimate what sowing to the flesh will bring. I mean, that's what Satan wants us to do, to go, well, yeah, okay, there may be some, you know, it may not be brilliant for me, but it won't lead to really anything terrible. And we've got to have such a serious view of sin and its implications and its impact, that it just destroys our souls and our relationship with the Lord, and it grieves the Spirit. And it'll lead to all those things and display itself on all those things in chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 and 21. Okay, what does it mean to sow to the Spirit then? Well, it means to give yourself to all those things that will encourage your spiritual life. All those things that will bring you to know more of the Spirit, that those things that instead of grieving him will strengthen his work within you. So whenever you whenever you sort of humbly, prayerfully read your Bible and pray, you're sowing to the Spirit, aren't you? When you gather with God's people, when you spend time with a brother or sister in Christ and talk about the things of God, you're sowing to the Spirit. You're strengthening your spiritual life. When you make a covenant with your eyes not to look on worthless things, you're sowing to the Spirit. When you determine in the midst of a busy life to read a good Christian biography or a good Christian book, you're sowing to the Spirit. When you go, whatever things are good and whatever things are lovely and whatever things are pure, I'm going to meditate on those things. You're sowing to the Spirit. And what does it lead to? It leads to everlasting life. It leads to eternal life. What's eternal life? Well, Jesus tells us, doesn't he? It's knowing God, and it's walking with him, and it's fellowship with him, and it's true joy and peace and life. That's what sowing to the Spirit leads to. And so the duty of every Christian then here tonight is to ask, what am I doing to sow to the Spirit? What am I doing to encourage and promote my spiritual life? What am I doing to make me know more of the Spirit in my life? Listen to these words. Sow a thought. I don't know if you've heard this. Reap an act. Sow an act. Reap a habit. Sow a habit. Reap a character. Sow a character. Reap a destiny. That's true, isn't it? How one thing leads to another. A thought indulged becomes very easily, doesn't it, an act. And an act indulged becomes a habit. And a habit indulged forms a character. Character determines our lives and usefulness and eternal destinies. So Paul applies it to giving and holiness. And then lastly, briefly, doing good. Okay, verses 9 and 10, look. What are you and I to be characterized by? Well, brothers and sisters, we'll be characterized by doing good, aren't we? Let us, what does it say? Let us not grow weary while doing good. And then verse 10, let us do good to all. So I think that's speaking about doing people good in whatever way. That might be spiritually, as we share the gospel with them, or if they're a believer, as we encourage them in the things of God. Or it might be a practical thing to help them in some way, or some kindness displayed, whatever it might be. And we're to do good to all. Okay, so to all those around us, all those in our neighbourhoods, as we have opportunity. So, you know, we can't do everything, but there's things we can do. We've got neighbours, and we've got school friends, and we've got people around us that God brings into our lives, and we're to do good. We're to seek their good, their spiritual good, and their earthly goods. And the Bible is radical, isn't it? Because we're to do good to our enemies. Jesus said, didn't he? Do good to those who hate you. Wow, man alive. But especially, he says here, doesn't he? To those of the household of faith. So we're to do good to all as much as we can, those around us. And yet we're to be particularly characterized, aren't we, by caring for each other, looking at the spiritual good of each other, the seeking to help one another, to be a blessing to each other. We're to do good. And if you do that, you'll be like Jesus, won't you? That is that wonderful expression. I love it about Jesus. He went about doing good. That was his life, wasn't it? Just wherever he went, he was doing people good. And it's easy to, let's be honest, it's easy to grow weary in that, isn't it? It's easy to lose heart because perhaps People are ungrateful or they're unchanged. Or just because it's tiring giving out, isn't it? And thinking about others. And we can become weary in it, can't we? We can go, oh, it's just non-stop. And so what have we got to remember? We've got to remember this foundational truth. Whatever a man sows, he also reaps. We've got to remember that every time we're doing good, we're sowing a seed. We're planting. And we know we've got to trust God and we've got to believe his words that in due season, we shall reap. Something will come of it. Something in God's purpose and plan will come of that doing good. It might not be straight away, in due season, in God's timing, good will come of it. That's how we've got to think, haven't we? That's how we've got to remember. What a man sows, he also reaps. That's what's going to encourage us not to grow weary, not to give up. There will be a harvest. There will be a reaping. Now, we're left to imagine what that reaping might be. Souls saved, God glorified, saints strengthened. Just treasure in heaven. Hearing the Lord say at the end, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So, keep on doing good. Don't grow weary. Think of your life, the whole of your life, as sowing. Sowing. As you do good, the Lord sees it, and it's seed in the ground. And who knows when that harvest might come. So on this Harvest Sunday, sorry if this has been a bit straight this evening, the Harvest Sunday, but how we need this truth, don't we? How we need that in our hearts. That foundational truth, what a man sows, that he also reaps, and then applied in these ways to our lives. May God write his word on our hearts and help us to live in the light of it. As we head out into the week.